Now, for the next few minutes, we're going to think, we'd like to think, I'd like to think with, together with you about what is the truth. In our scripture this morning, you'll notice that Pilate said to Jesus, when he said that he came to proclaim the truth, "What is the truth?" is what he said. Leo Rosen tells a story about Yuri Smolensky, a Jewish engineer, in former Soviet Russia. Yuri had been ordered to move to a minor post in a faraway frozen Siberian outpost. His parents, in tears, were watching him pack his belongings. Yuri said, "Well, I'll write every day." His mother wailed, "Yeah, but the censorship, they'll watch every word that you write." And Yuri's father said, "Well, I have an idea. Anything you write in black ink, we'll know is true. But anything you put in red ink, we'll know is nonsense." A month passed, and then from Siberia came a long letter, all in black ink. "Dear Mom and Papa," the letter began, "I can't tell you how happy I am here. It is a worker's paradise. We are treated like kings. I live in a fine apartment, and the local butcher has meat every single day. There are many concerts and theaters and movies, and all free. And there's not one tiny bit of anti-Semitism here. Love, your son, Yura. P.S. There's only one thing you can't find here in Siberia, and that is red ink." Took a little time. There you go. In our scripture for today, Jesus says that he came for one purpose. He came into the world to bear witness of the truth. You know, it's so difficult to know what is true in today's world. We see the outcome of a trial and we shake our head and say, "How could it come out like that? Were there a bunch of morons in that jury box? Couldn't they see that he was guilty of sin?" Evidently, they saw some side of the truth that you and I didn't see. We hear about the church commission on the national level taking some outlandish stand in a controversial issue, and we think to ourselves, "How can they be so misguided up there? Can't they see what is plain on the nose of their face? Evidently, they have some information I don't have. Or maybe they're just human like you and me, but it's hard to know." Complicating the problem is the fact that it is equally hard to know who to trust. There are few heroes anymore. There's few authority figures. And everyone seems to have his or her own agenda. Jesse Jackson and Jerry Falwell are both ordained ministers of the gospel. And yet their versions of the truth are wildly different. To make matters worse, there is so much misinformation nowadays. For example, it has been widely quoted that about one out of two American marriages will end in divorce. That is a lie. It's a lie. The government figures in a recent poll by Lewis Harris Company shows that only one in eight marriages ends in divorce. And in any single year, only 2% of existing marriages break up. Yes, the Census Bureau figures do show about 1.2 million divorces for about 2.5 million marriages during an average year. But Mr. Harris says one critical element is left out of the equation. A much bigger 53 million other marriages just keep flowing along like Old Man River. We've been getting a lie. Does such misinformation matter? It does if a young couple newly married decides that divorce is no big thing. After all, everybody's doing it. But it's hard to know what is true and what isn't. Wouldn't it be great if we had some kind of truth detector that we could let us know when people are being a tad dishonest? What a great thing to have when we are watching commercials or political debates or even evening news. The ancient Chinese had an interesting approach to discovering the truth. They knew that fear shuts off the flow of saliva in the mouth in most people. In a stressful situation, they would give a suspected liar a handful of rice to chew. If the suspect could spit it out, they declared him honest. But if he could not summon up enough saliva for this, they judged him afraid of discovery and therefore guilty. Maybe we should ask politicians to chew on rice before they debate. It is so hard to know what is true. Yet truth is essential in life. Can a marriage survive where there is no trust? Can a society survive without integrity? When the blue light shines in the rear view mirror, it gives us an anxiety, but imagine a world in which we could no longer trust our officers, our police officers, with the enormous power that they wield. Think of the terror if the police were just another set of thugs. The pharmacist mixes the drugs upon which we, our very survival may depend. Suppose the pharmacist were to dilute those drugs in order to sell contraband out the back door. The restaurant in which we eat, we expect that there will be a certain level of sanitary conditions so that the food we eat will not be exposed to disease. But what if it were not so? When you question whether a little bit of cheating is a serious matter, ask yourself how it would feel to live in a society where no one could be trusted. Truth is essential, even when it hurts. In his book, The Different Drum, M. Scott Peck presents an interesting theory about relationships. He says, God designed us to yearn for open, honest, authentic relationships, communal relationships. But because we choose peacekeeping, now get this, peacekeeping over truth-telling, we end up in pseudo-communal relationships instead. These are marriages, family relationships, or friendships that are strictly surface level. No one says anything unsafe. They never discuss misunderstandings, reveal hurt feelings, air frustrations, or ask difficult questions. The underlying rule in pseudo-community is don't rock the boat, don't disturb the peace. But it's a counterfeit peace. Misunderstandings arise, but they're never resolved. Feelings beg to be shared, but they're not. Offenses occur, but nobody talks about them. Doubts about the other's integrity creep in, but they're never dealt with. In time, such relationships deteriorate, and the secret agenda of the hurt is misunderstanding. And misunderstandings lead to detached trust and bitterness. Feelings of love begin to die. It's a story of too many marriages and family relationships and friendships. Text says that the only antidote to pseudo-community is chaos. Bill Hybels calls it the tunnel of chaos, where hurts are unburied, hostilities revealed, and tough questions are asked. Truth is essential to healthy relationships and healthy religion. This is what is so refreshing as well as vexing about children. Children have a tendency to tell the truth, even truth that we'd rather not have them tell or hear. A dermatologist once commented about many older people who have had a wart on their face, for instance, or their neck for years, suddenly want him to remove those warts. And when he asked them why, they explained that their grandchildren will come up and touch the wart and say, "What's that, Grandpa?" One mother said that after watching the Cinderella movie, her 5-year-old daughter was pretending to be the fairy godmother. She got a pinwheel out of her toy box for a magic wand, and she told her mother that she could make 3 wishes and the fairy godmother would grant them. Her mother first asked for world peace. With a slight wave of the wand, little girl proclaimed, "It's done." Then her mother asked that all the sick children in the world would be cured instantly. And once again, with a slight wave of the wand, her request was granted. Since Mom was overweight, her 3rd request was that she would have a trim figure. Her daughter began wildly waving the wand up and down and up and down and saying, "I don't know, Mom, I may need more power for this one." Children have a way of speaking the truth. Sometimes we need the truth spoken. Otherwise, we become like the widow who was talked into a shady real estate deal by a fly-by-night developer. After she calculated her loss of over $50,000 from her life savings, she contacted the Better Business Bureau and filed a complaint. The Better Business Bureau representative asked her, "Well, it sounded fishy right from the start. Why didn't you come to us before you invested your money? Didn't you know about our services to help people?" And she answered, "Oh, yeah, I did. But I was afraid you'd tell me not to do it." We shake our heads at such a wrong-headed approach to truth. And yet, how many married couples avoid a painful truth? How many business persons turn a blind eye to the information that they would rather not receive? How many nice and normal folks live counterfeit lives, never achieving the level of integrity that would allow them to live victoriously. Truth is essential. No building will endure that is constructed on a false foundation. But there's one thing more to be said. When it comes to spiritual things, truth is Jesus Christ. A young Chinese boy who wanted to learn about jade went to study with a famous old teacher. The elderly gentleman put a piece of jade into the boy's hand and told him to hold it tight. And then the old man began to talk about philosophy and men and women and the sun and almost everything under the sun. After an hour, he took back the stone and sent the boy home. The procedure was repeated for weeks. The boy became frustrated. When would he be told about jade, he wondered. But he was too polite to interrupt his teacher. Then one day, when the old man put an ordinary cut glass stone into the boy's hand, the boy cried out instantly, "That's not jade." Now the boy knew the feeling of jade, and he could not be fooled by something that was artificial. There are so many ideas in the religious marketplace today. Even within the Christian community, there are many versions of the truth. When all is said and done, there is only one truth by which all spiritual practice should be judged. And that truth is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Is this in keeping with the Spirit of Christ? I know the scholars debate which of the teachings of Jesus is authentic and which have been added by tradition. That is of little consequence. Faithful believers early in the life of the church selected a body of information that we have collected in the four Gospels and said that for us, this is the way, the truth, and the life. This is God revealing good news for our world. They concluded that this is an accurate account of the life and ministry of the Word made flesh. This is their testimony, and it is good enough for me. Truth is Christ. Steve Brown tells the story of a British soldier in the First World War who lost heart for the battle, and he decided to desert. Trying to reach the coast for a boat to England that night, he ended up wandering in the pitch-black nightness, hopelessly lost. In the darkness, he came across what he thought was a signpost. It was so dark that he had to climb the post so that he could read it. As he reached the top of the pole, he struck a match to see and found himself looking squarely in the face of Jesus. He realized that rather than running into a signpost, he had climbed a roadside crucifix. Brown explained, then he remembered the one who had died for him, the one who had endured for him, the one who had never turned back. And the next morning, the soldier was back in the trenches. You and I are looking for signposts to help us determine what is true and what is not, what is worth giving our lives to and what is not. Truth is evasive, and misinformation abounds. Perhaps what we need to do is to strike a match in the darkness and look into the face of Jesus. We all need to look into the face of Jesus for our lives. We all need to think of what's best for our lives. And during a time of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives and help us. In silent prayer, let's dedicate or rededicate our lives to God. Let's just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning. Forgive all of our sins of the past and help us to follow the teachings of our Lord and Savior and find the truth that we might enjoy the happiness and the love we all want in life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.